I had a text read earlier in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 through verse 16. There's a statement made in verse 16 of that text we want to give consideration to this evening. It's a text you may be familiar with, especially you're familiar with the statement under consideration that we want to discuss this evening. But let's read the passage of Scripture from the New King James Version. Galatians 6, verse 15 and 16. Where Paul said, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." First thing I want to draw your mind to is remember, we saw a statement almost similar to that this morning, didn't we, in our study in Galatians 5 and in verse 6. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Now, Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 6. This says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creature or new creation." Verse 16, Galatians 6. "And as many as walk according to this rule," that is, according to the principle just stated in verse 15, "peace and mercy be upon them." Upon whom? Upon that new creation. "And upon the Israel of God." Note that. "And upon the Israel of God." The New King James Version seems to indicate that those upon whom peace and mercy are to be upon are a different group than upon the Israel of God because of the coordinating conjunction "and." Do you not see that? "And as many as walk according to this rule," or according to this principle, "peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God." But I want to suggest to you that the Israel of God is the new creation in verse 15. It's just another way of saying the same thing. And the new creation are those who, upon walking according to that principle, have access to peace and mercy from God. Even the Israel of God. That little coordinating conjunction "and" can be rendered as "even." Even. We see it translated that way in the New International Version. "Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule or this principle, even to the Israel of God." Do we not see that the new creation and the Israel of God are the same? The new creation and the Israel of God are the same, and those who walk according to that principle of being a new creature in Christ Jesus and partake of God's peace and mercy, they are also the Israel of God. They're all the same. Galatians 6, verse 15 and 16 in the Christian Standard Bible. "For both circumcision and uncircumcision means nothing. What matters instead is a new creation. May peace come to all those who follow this standard, and mercy even to the Israel of God." So the new creation is the Israel of God. We understand it. We've known it in times past as the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one upon whom peace and mercy has come, the one who is the new creation in Christ Jesus. But our concern tonight is the Israel of God in this text. The Israel of God is the church. In order to arrive at the Israel of God as being the church here, I want to take just a moment to go back in history and note some others who were referred to as Israel. First of all, we have Israel the man in Genesis 21 and verse 3. "And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac." So Isaac and Sarah produced a son, and they named him Isaac. But Isaac also produced a son by his wife Rebekah. Genesis 25 and verse 24. "So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterwards, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob," or deceiver, or the grasper of a heel. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore him. Jacob. This Jacob's name was later changed to Israel after he wrestled with God, or an angel of the Lord, in Genesis 32 and verse 28. And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." So, Israel. There was a man called Israel. His previous name was Jacob, but God changed it from Jacob to Israel. Then we have Israel the nation. Israel the nation. The descendants of Israel, that is, the descendants of Jacob. Remember, Jacob had 12 sons. Those sons are often referred to as the patriarchs. And so those 12 sons produced many other sons, many other descendants. And all of those descendants, or children of Israel, were known as the nation of Israel. In Exodus 3 and in verse 15, after Israel, after Jacob, his descendants remained in Egyptian bondage for many, many years. They grew into a mighty nation. Here they're referred to as the children of Israel. Exodus 3 and verse 15. Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." So the children of Israel, or the nation of Israel. Children of Israel, simply a way of saying the descendants of Israel. Because at this time, when Moses sought to bring them out of Egyptian bondage, Israel, that is Jacob, had been long dead, along with all of his sons. But his descendants was known as the children of Israel, or the nation of Israel. Later on, this nation of Israel was referred to as the northern kingdom. After the division of the nation of Israel, for a period of time, remember, it had kings. But when Solomon died and his son Rehoboam took the reign over the nation of Israel, he did not reign like his father Solomon, and so the people were greatly displeased with him. And the nation divided. 10 of the tribes of Israel went away with Jeroboam into apostasy. That's the northern kingdom. 1 Kings 12 and in verse 16. Now when all Israel saw that the king, that is King Rehoboam, did not listen to them, the people answered the king saying, "What share have we in David? Have we no inheritance in the son of Jesse? To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David." So Israel departed to their tents. Note that, Israel departed to their tents. Now, all Israel didn't depart to their tents. Those who departed to their tents were mostly of the 10 tribes that went away with Jeroboam into apostasy. There was 2 other tribes left, with some, a few from the other 10 tribes, still left in the land of Israel. And that was Benjamin and Judah, along with a few others. And of course, the northern kingdom was called Israel. The southern kingdom was known as Judah. Jeremiah 30 and verse 4 refers to those 2 kingdoms. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. Israel and Judah, 2 different kingdoms, but they're all the descendants or the children of Israel. Then we come to the time period in which Christ comes on the scene. Many, many years have passed. Remember, the northern tribe or the northern kingdom of Israel was taken away into Assyrian captivity, scattered like seeds, you might say, around the world. Judah was taken away into Babylonian captivity, the city of Jerusalem destroyed, and scattered like seeds, you might say, again, around the world. They were of the dispersion, the scattering of the Jews, in those 2 occasions of being taken away into captivity. But when Jesus comes on the scene, all that is left of all of those tribes, regardless of which tribe they were from, is simply referred to as Israel. Israel. Israel the remnant. That is the remnant of those who were preserved from the Assyrian captivity, the remnant or a small group that was preserved from the Babylonian captivity, all of them were known as Israel. In Acts 13 and verse 23, Acts 13 and verse 23, for this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. So we see here that Jesus said that was to be a Savior of Israel. And John the Baptizer preached to Israel. That is, he preached to that remnant of people known as Israel, regardless of what tribe they were from. Peter himself preached to Israel in Acts 2 and verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words on the day of Pentecost. Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 2 and verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both the Lord and Christ. They were preaching to Israel. That is, the remnant of all the descendants of Israel, simply referred to as Israel again. Paul himself also preached to Israel. Romans 10 and verse 1, brethren, my heart's desired prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 18, observe Israel after the flesh. That means, Paul says, look at Israel after the flesh. Can you not see the people of Israel? You could. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? That is, those who make up Israel during this particular period of time. Paul, as a matter of fact, was a chosen apostle to preach to Israel. Philippians 3 and in verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock or family or lineage of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee. So Paul himself was also an Israelite. He was an Israelite. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 12, he said, are they not Hebrews? An Israelite? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. However, in the Israel of God in our text is not Israel the man. It's not Israel the nation. It's not Israel the remnant. It is the church under consideration as we know it. So let's consider Israel, the Lord's church. Abraham's seed are the people who have believed and have been baptized, and they are the ones who make up the Israel of God. The Israel of God is not a physical nation like it once was. It is a spiritual nation, a spiritual kingdom of people. It is not Israel the man, not Israel the nation, not Israel the northern kingdom, nor Israel the remnant. It is the Lord's church again. Galatians 3 and in verse 26, Paul said, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Know this, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. These are the heirs of the promise that God had made to Abraham. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Note this, and heirs according to the promise. Heirs according to the promise. These are the true children of Abraham. They are the true children of Israel. Remember, how do we connect Abraham with this? Well, Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac was the one through whom the promise was to come. He was the one through whom God was going to keep the promise that He'd made to Abraham, that in thy seed all the nations of the earth should be blessed. That's how Abraham is connected to this. Genesis 22 and in verse 18, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. In Romans 9 and verse 6 then Paul said, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. They are not all spiritual Israel who are of physical Israel. Everyone who was a physical Israelite did not make up spiritual Israel, the true Israel of God. Nor are they all children. They're not all children of God because they are of the seed of Abraham. Just because they're descendants of Abraham don't make them children of God. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of, note this, the promise are counted as the seed. They're counted as the children of Abraham, who make up the true Israel of God. People of faith are the children of Abraham, the true Israel of God. Galatians 3 and in verse 7, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons or children of Abraham. Those who are of faith, those who put their trust and confidence in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, in the book of Galatians, compared to those who put their trust and confidence in the law of Moses and the works of the law of Moses, such as circumcision as a means of justification or salvation. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. The Judaizing teachers were not sons of Abraham. They were not part of the true Israel of God. They were not a part of the new creation. The Israel of God far exceeds old Israel. That is the spiritual Israel, the true Israel of God. Far exceeds old Israel in so many ways. For example, old Israel possessed the oracles of God, the very words of God. Romans 3 and in verse 1, what advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, Paul said, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. They had the word of God, the Old Testament law. However, the spiritual Israel, the Israel of God in our text, Galatians 6 and verse 16, the church has the New Testament, which is far greater than the law of Moses. It is a covenant that God made that is referred to as a new covenant, Hebrews 8 and verse 6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant, the old law, if it had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This quote is from Jeremiah 31, verse 31 and following. Not according to the covenant that I made with them, with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. So a new covenant, a far greater covenant than the covenant with Israel in the days of old. This new covenant, the New Testament, is for all. The old covenant was for the Jews, the Hebrew nation, and it was given to them and to them only. But this new covenant is for all mankind. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to the apostles, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in, literally into the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So this covenant, this New Testament, is for all people. It's for all nations. It's just not for the nation of Israel, as was the old covenant, the oracles of God that had been given to them in ages past. Old Israel also was to be separated from the world. It was to be separated from the world literally. And they had different standards for their conduct between themselves as Jewish or Hebrew people than they had with others of the world. That is, they were to treat one another differently than they would treat those of the world. They were indeed a nation separated from other nations by the ways in which they treated people. And it was all according to the law. Deuteronomy 23 and in verse 19. You shall not charge interest to your brother, that is, to your Hebrew brother. Interest on money or food or anything that is lent out at interest. Well, what Hebrew would lend money to a Hebrew? He's not going to make anything off of it. To a foreigner you may charge interest, but to your brother you shall not charge interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all to which you set your hand in the land which you are entering to possess. If one was in the business of loaning money, he would seek out foreigners. He would seek out Gentiles. He would seek out somebody outside the nation of Israel to loan his money to, because he could not make any interest from his own brethren. But we see this is just one example of the way in which they were separate from other people. They treated their own people differently than they treated others. They would charge others interest, but would not charge their own brethren interest. The true Israel of God, though, is not interested in just those who belong to it. It's interested in all men. All men. Galatians 6 and in verse 10, we noted this morning, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who have the household of faith. Let us do good to all. Let us do spiritually good to all. We can teach the gospel to all men. We can benefit all men through the preaching and teaching of the word and encouraging them to live a life that is faithful to God. So, old Israel were separated from all other people, and they treated one another in a different way than they treated others. But the true Israel of God, the spiritual Israel, the church is interested in all mankind. Yet, the true Israel of God is not to partake of that which is wrong and do that which is wrong. 1 John 2 and in verse 15, to the true Israel of God, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 Corinthians 5 and in verse 7, therefore purge out the old leaven that you might be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover sacrifice was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of this world. Yes, the new Israel of God, the spiritual Israel of God, are not to partake of the things that are wrong. Another difference is that old Israel's mission was a simple one. They had a simple mission, but many of them failed to recognize it, and thus many of them was lost. The simple mission was simply to be a nation through which the Christ would come. Galatians 3 and in verse 19, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions to the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Note that the word seed is capitalized. In the context, it has reference to Jesus Christ. And it was appointed through angels by the hands of a mediator. Now, mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise, what promise? Well, the promise that God had made to Abraham, in thy seed all the nations of the earth should be blessed. That the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So old Israel's mission was simple, to bring the Christ into the world. The law was given through which and by which they might remain a people of God and do that. But many of them failed. They failed when Christ came into the world, and they failed to have their own faith in Him that they might be justified. The spiritual Israel of God, that is the church, has the message of salvation for all. For all. For all mankind. 1 Timothy 3 and in verse 14, Paul said to the young evangelist Timothy, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Old Israel had an inheritance as well. It was an inheritance of land. And we have an inheritance. The true Israel of God has an inheritance. It is referred to sometimes as a land or a country. It is heaven itself. Heaven itself. Eternal salvation in heaven. Eternal life. A passage we quoted this morning, 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, for, in order to salvation, eternal salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The question of the hour is, are you the Israel of God? Are you part of the Israel of God we read about in our text? The true Israel of God, the spiritual Israel of God. If not, why not? But even if you are of the Israel of God, please remember that God expects the Israel of God, of which we're citizens of, to be and to do better than old Israel. He expects that of us. Because old Israel, remember, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. God expects more of us. He expects us to be better than old Israel. We are the true children of God. Remember, just because one was a descendant of Abraham did not make him a child of God. That is, one in whom God could be pleased. One in whom God would approve of. Just because they were descendants of Abraham, Israelites in the flesh, it did not make them true children of God. One becomes a true child of God in Christ Jesus. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. He can partake of the peace that God provides and the mercy that He provides, even as part of the Israel of God. The lesson is yours. If you're here this evening, subject to an invitation, become a child of God, or having done that in times past, you have sin in your life, we'd encourage you to repent of that sin, confess that sin. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.